Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to God's Bishops of Divine Guidance Ministries. Our mission in this ministry is to repair the breach in the walls of the body of Christ where failed leadership with poor character and judgment have caused the breach and failed the body. We believe, as Scripture states in Matthew 6:33, that we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Well, it's another day. I'm so glad about it. I'm Archbishop Bernadine Turner, your host, welcoming you, our listeners and supporters, thanking you for joining us again on today. Well, the Holy Spirit is still on the move, and we must talk this morning about what must we do to cleanse the body. You know, we can talk about deliverance, we can talk about all these other things, but if no one ever sits down and really addresses what we actually need to do to get this thing fixed, we're going to continue in this cycle. And so God has called me this morning to talk to you again for a short period of time why we are continuously being attacked by the enemy after we turn from our old ways. You know, we pray, we speak the word of God with minimal or temporary results. And so there's a problem with this issue, and today the Holy Spirit wants to address the issue of why this thing is temporary and why it is that it keeps coming back. The Spirit reveals truth, so I'm so glad that you joined us again on today. Now, the first thing I want to say is this is my recommendation, and I know that there are a lot of books that are out there, but this is one that's free, so grab a pencil and paper quickly. And if you don't get it in time or can't get it before we get into it, what I need you to do is to replay this message on Blog Talk Radio, or you can email me on Blog Talk Radio, you know, or at godsbishops@aol.com, okay? And ask for the information again, and I'll be more than happy to give it to you. But this is a free book, as I said, and we've got this problem about clearing and freeing our person, okay, and our surroundings of the enemy. We need to shut him down, and we need to keep him at bay. But know this, the Word of God says this, and I have to make this a prerequisite. The Word of God says even when Christ went on his 40-day fast, come on now, we're not Christ, and he went on a 40-day fast, and he was placed in the wilderness to be tempted. So know this, that you are in Christ, and it's not going to be any different for you, okay? Even though Christ did it for us, okay, and he brought us back to the Father through his death on the cross, but he said to pick up your cross and follow me. So that cross is that very thing that we're being encumbered with all the time. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know where Christians got this thing about the pie in the sky and all of that. I don't understand that. I don't understand that reason, because if you read the Word of God, if you read the New Testament, you're going to find out that this is a struggle in this lifetime. It doesn't have to be, because he says that your yoke should be easy, okay? It should be easy if you do. Everything is conditional. Okay? And it's contingent on you doing what you're supposed to do. So this teaching is to help you to get to that place where even though the enemy comes, remember what he did to Christ? After Christ spoke God's word and said he's not going to tempt God, you know, he's not going to do this, he's not going to do that, he doesn't care anything about what you're saying, okay? I don't care anything about what you're offering me. I came to do something and to set the captive free, and that's what I have to do. And it takes death to do it. And he was determined to do what it took for him to do. We've got to have that same determination to fight this fight of faith. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now listen at this. The word also says that the devil moved away from him, left him, for at a more appointed time. Read the whole thing. Don't just read some scriptures and start popping off and, you know, and think you got all this word in you. He said he left him for a period of time to come back at a more appropriate time, okay? So that means that the enemy's going to always come back at a more appropriate time. What we need to learn to do is to shut the doors and shut the avenues and to be able to be strong enough, because we got that word so built up in us and we keep that word before our faces and we do the things that we need to do so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because this thing is, he's not going to go away. His whole thing is to shut you down, shut your ministry down, shut down everything that exalts itself, okay, above him. See, it's exalts itself above him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And see, God's word is above him. God's things are above him. See, so that's his whole point, is to destroy you, take your credibility. That's why you can't allow him to do it. You cannot allow him to do it, and there's some things that you can do. First thing I want you to do is to go get this book, okay? And this will teach you a lot of the things that I don't have the time to teach you. It's called The Book of Prayers. It's a red book, and it's free. Okay, I'm opening it up now. I've had it now for about 10 years. And I've even gotten the second and third copy of it. Okay, you go to www.christianword.org. The order line is 859-219-9082. It's Christian Word Ministries. They're located at 801 Corporate Drive, Lexington, Kentucky, 40503. Now, I'm going to briefly run through this because I've got some points to make and I don't have a lot of time and I need to move on. Disabling strong men, okay, spiritual warfare prayer, heads of protection, destroying the general curses, bondage-breaking prayers, shattering strongholds on yourself, shattering strongholds on others, praying against the root cause, not the symptoms. See, we've got to understand this. There's root causes, and you can go and buy a lot of people's books. They have a lot of stuff out there, okay? And all of it is good. Much of it, I shouldn't say all, because all is not good, okay? But much of it is good, and much of it is true. But the bottom line is everybody that's in the body of Christ can't necessarily afford to do this, okay? But there's free books. And they even give you the opportunity to be able to share what's written there without being concerned about somebody coming back on you to sue you, that kind of thing. I love them. Okay, and a lot of books, if you read the books, you'll see where the base of where their stuff came from is from these Book of Prayers. And it's praying against the root cause, putting the Word of God into action. It's baptism of the Holy Spirit, asking for wisdom. It's much more than that, but it's curses, prayer, destroying curses, cancellation of witchcraft or prayers of manipulation. See, a lot of people manipulate. You understand what I'm saying? Then it goes on to say breaking word curses spoken over yourself and others. You know, some of us have had these things spoken over us from children, casting out evil spirits, the blood of Jesus covering, rendering the enemy harmless and unable to come back, loosing angels for protection, cleaning out a room, the church building, your home, deliverance prayers, importance of affirmations. See, we've got to speak affirmations over ourselves on a daily basis. You can't just do it sometime because the enemy's always waiting for that opportune time to come back. Okay, this is word. I need you to understand where I get a lot of my information from. Okay, the word of God concerning overcoming sin, believer scripture, authority against demonic spirits, and warring against powers and principalities, all that's in this book, prayers of impartation, priestly blessings, destroying curses, shutting demonic avenues and doors. Do you understand what I'm saying? Stop evil spirits, transferring, influencing, and manifesting. You know, there's prayers for all of this. And this book contains so much, and it's my second Bible, if you will. Do you understand? And for prayers, you know. And one of the things I talked about on the other day when we were talking about the this problem we have in the body of Christ, that we need to clean and free ourselves. And you know, and amulets and witchcraft and all these other things, and you can buy books on this, but this is a free one. I need you to, you know, to do this. I've got to move on because I only have like 35 minutes, okay? So I want to talk to you this morning again with the same subject. This is, you know, a part two kind of thing. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, and it reads, "So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the Master, talking about God and Jesus, fit and ready for any good work. See, that's what it takes. That's what it takes to do, to be fit and ready for any good work. And see, when we have ministries, okay, he's talking about the body of Christ, talking about leadership. When we have ministries, we have to continuously realize and stay focused and constantly pray fast, okay, and purify ourselves, cleansing ourselves from any ignoble and unclean thing. Okay, let's look up the term ignoble, and I did for you already. Ignoble is unworthy or degraded in character or quality, and it's disgraceful and it's humiliating. So when we see these tabloids about our ministers falling, they're being degraded and they're being disgraced because they have allowed a door to open within themselves, okay, with this, that is set and come to destroy them. See, people are going to slander you. They're going to do all these things. The Word of God says that they are. But if you keep your standards, as I spoke to you on yesterday about these situations that come, the last of my messages, if you would do what the Word of God says do, then you will keep a lot of those doors closed. These prayers that I'm talking about will automatically, when you get up and read these prayers and then they become rhema in your spirit, whenever it's your ability to see will foresee the enemy when he comes. You think Jesus didn't see the enemy standing in front of him? Do you think Jesus didn't? Don't you see the enemy when he comes in front of you? All you have to do is listen, because he's going to tell you who he is each and every time. The enemy's going to say something to you. But if you're all off into indulgence, self-indulgence, if you're all into your pleasures of this life, if you are vanity, you know, vain, wanting to hear someone say some good things about you, you know what? I don't want anybody. You know what? If nobody ever called me and told me you did good or whatever on your messages or when you preach, I could care less, because guess what? Those very words, I have to pay attention who's speaking them into my spirit, and what are they coming to speak to my spirit for? Are they coming to bring, to get into my good graces, to get another position at the table, which I preached about? Do you understand what I'm saying? You never know what the enemy uses. He uses other Christians as well as outsiders. It's not just the outsider. It's Christian men. Why? Because they have not cleansed their bodies. They have not cleansed themselves to understand what is pure and holy, and that you don't need to compliment the man or woman of God. You know what? I'm on Facebook, and every time I turn around, somebody is saying to somebody else, you go, so-and-so, you go, that's the word, and blah, 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 and you mean well when you do that, okay? But guess what? The Word of God stands on its own, and you don't have to inflate the person, okay? Why don't you say, speak God's word? Say that instead of some of the other things. You know, we get so caught up into ourselves, and some people have pictures where they're holding their hands and they're in prayer, and, you know, and they're talking, said, oh, don't maim the man of God or the woman of God or this, that, and the other. But that's not scriptural, okay? Because God's word says that we're supposed to, those in the body of Christ, okay, those who are in position, not just anybody, okay, because some people are still learning and they have not elevated to a point where they can chastise, that they can correct. You're not supposed to just correct, as soon as you get a couple of words and you run out there and you start correcting. That's not what the Word of God tells you to do. Okay, you stay in your place and stay in your lane. That's why he promotes certain people to be able to be in a position to say what is supposed to be said to the man or woman of God who is in error. Do you understand? Deep calls unto deep. Don't you get it? Deep calls unto deep. If you're not there, you have no business correcting. That is for somebody who's in that same place. See, somebody on his level needs to be correcting him, you know, or her, or whomever it is. Do you understand? That's why we have so much mess in the body of Christ, because we have so many opinions that are not biblically based. Do you understand? And I have to preach on that at another time. But what I need to tell you about these ignoble, unworthy, degrading character, okay, and qualities that we have that we're not addressing, okay? So now, the Word of God also says here, drop down to 3, it says, but refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questionings, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, persevering and bond of spirit, preserving the bond of spirit, okay? Then it goes on to say this, I'm sorry, the bond of peace, okay? And he must be skilled, a skilled and suitable teacher. See, a lot of you out there are not skilled and suitable yet. Not that, and I'm not knocking you. Stay on your course. Because in due season, if you faint not, you'll get there. But everybody is not skilled and suitable, a suitable teacher. Okay? Because you have to be patient and forbearing and willing to suffer wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come on, Holy Spirit, teach this thing, because I can't. I've read so much. I'm so full. The Holy Spirit of the living God, come on in and do this work, because I'm nothing without you. I can't do any of this. I need you to keep me focused on, because there's so many things that are going across my mind right now. Steady my mind on the course in which you have called me today, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for doing exceedingly abundantly all that we can possibly ask or think of. Okay, now let's drop down to chapter 3. But understand this, okay, same 2 Timothy chapter 3, that in the last days will come, in other words, set in perilous times of great stress and troubling, hard to deal with and hard to bear. And I think if you realize we're in those times, for people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, okay, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhumane, relentless, admitting of no truth or appeasement. You know, they will be without natural human affection. Do you understand? They're going to be lovers of themselves. Men with women. They're going to be lovers on this. They're going to be callous. They're not going to care. Don't you see how bold the homosexual community is? Don't you see how bold they are? They just hold huge, enormous parades at all times whenever they feel like it, and they strike and they go out. And for instance, when the Queen of England came, they told her, "Hey, baby, we're the Queen." Okay? They let her know, "You're no queen, we're the queen." Do you understand? Just blasphemous. Just all kinds of ignorant, okay, and boastful things. And then they go on to say, it says that they're slanderers and false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce haters of good. Do you understand? They're fierce haters of good. Anything good, lovely, and of a good report, they hate that. That's why you have them adopting children. I mean, what would a homosexual do adopting a children but showing them that that lifestyle is okay? So what are they doing? They're going to the system and they're getting the rejects, okay, the children that have not been orphans and those that have not been adopted into Christian good homes. Homes where the husbands are not pedophiles and the wives pedophiles. You know, I just got to tell that thing like it is. You know, it's harsh, but it's true. You know, and we have turned our backs on these children and allowed just anybody to adopt them because we don't want to be bothered because we're not Christian like ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? God talks about the homeless child and how that he looks out after them, but there are people that are there. The devil is there to take them and to take them into his bosom. Don't you get it? And everywhere we go, there's no straight people hardly left. There's no people that are not adulterers left. There's no people. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That the devil has set up camp in the church and he's doing every damnable thing. He is wreaking havoc on God's people, and we're allowing him to do that. And then we can't even, as Christians, come together and have services and go to conferences and things without the enemy coming in showing himself. And then we will take the ones who are holy and we will say things against them and turn against them because we want what the devil is bringing to the table and what he has in his camp. Do you understand what I'm saying? This conference that I just came from, they were giving out money. The enemy was giving out money. Calling himself a bishop, giving out money. Okay, so anybody that received the money, see, if he had offered me money because of his conduct, I would have rejected it. Why? God talks about all money's not good money. He talks about the fact that that residue, from his past life, okay, is still upon him. So what happens when that residue is upon him? God talks about the leavened bread, the Passover, that leavened bread. Okay, I don't want to go to all those scriptures. You know those scriptures. Go and read them for yourself. Do you understand, woman and man of God? But what I do want you to know is if you don't purify yourself, okay, and thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me go to that scripture, all right, where Jesus is, let's see. All right, let's go to Luke 22, verse 39. Luke 22, verse 39, and it says this, and he came out and went, as was his habit. Listen at this. He came out, talking about Jesus, he came out and went, as was his habit. This was his habit, to the Mount of Olives. See, we all need to get to our Mount of Olives. We need to get there. Do you understand? This is a pertinent point. We need to stay. And as a matter of fact, don't just get there. Stay there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Stay at that Mount of Olives, okay? Because that's what's going to keep the devil at bay. The devil is not coming to your Mount of Olives. Do you hear me, saints? He's not coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's not coming to your Mount of Olives, okay? And he says, and the disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not at all enter into temptation. Did you hear what I said? Pray that you will not at all enter into temptation. See, saints, we've got to pray. See, we pray made-up prayers. We're not praying God's word. You got to go back to the basics and pray God's word. Because that's the word he answers. That's why I told you to get this book of prayers. That's what the Holy Ghost wants you to get. The Holy Spirit wants you to get the book of prayers. Do you understand? And they're free. So you have no excuse not to get these book of prayers. Do you understand? And tell everybody you know about this book of prayers, saints, so that you can get free of this foolishness. Do you understand? Because all these other books are in part. These are the books of prayers. Okay, this has been researched for years. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, and when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not at all enter. I'm reading from the Amplified. You gotta get an Amplified Bible. You gotta do that so that you can understand. You can understand this thing fully. That you would pray, he said to them, that you may not at all enter into temptation. Not at all. So in other words, not at all enter into temptation, that shuts all doors. Do you understand? Shuts all doors.
You've got to have all of these doors shut. Yeah, you got to cleanse your house. Yes, you got to start taking off your amulets. Yes, you got to find out that cross you're wearing. What's the basis of that cross? You need to get on the internet, do some research about that cross that Christ died on, and what kind of cross it was. Was it the cross that we see in Christendom, or was that another kind of cross? I need you to do some research for yourself. You know, the teacher is teaching. Do some research for yourself. Get on that internet. Find out. Dig down. Don't just take somebody's word because your pastor said it. Maybe your pastor is ignorant. Maybe your pastor is unlearned. Do you understand? Fast and pray for yourself. Do you understand that you may not be placed into a point of temptation? Okay, he says, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. So that tells me something else, that you have to get from among them, all people. Get from among them. Go to your secret place, to your prayer closet. Do you hear what I'm saying? Put on your shroud, okay, your sackcloth. Do you hear what I'm saying? So that you can purge yourself from these sins that so easily have beset you. See, you have to be able to stand up when the enemy comes to tempt you with a sin. You have to stand flat-footed and tell him to his face, I see you, and I speak the word of God over that you're trying to bring back into my person. I defile that spirit. Go that spirit right now. And see, these prayers will teach you how to speak to those spirits and tell them to remove themselves from you. Do you hear what I'm saying? They actually teach you what to say to those demonic spirits that come upon you to enter back in. Remember what the word of God says, that when the house was swept, the person's body was cleansed, okay, the enemy left, and then he roamed around on dry ground, and then he brought back seven more spirits, even more powerful than himself, to enter back into the house that had just been swept. How could that have happened? That person was not on his job. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you're not on your job, the enemy will bring back seven more, even more powerful than the one you just cast out. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't allow that. You cannot allow that. You cannot allow the enemy to come back in and to bring more trash. Do you understand? Because you're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. But you're going to have to do your job. I know this hard. To fast and pray. I know it's hard. It's hard for me to fast and pray. But if you want to keep the enemy at bay, if you want to stay safe from that, and you're going to have slanderers, because the word of God says that you are. But God's word says that he will, what's the word? Oh, God, I forgot the scripture. But what he's going to do, if you will stand and do your part, he will make them out of a liar. In other words, you know the scripture I'm talking about. I need you to get to that scripture so that you can build yourself up and realize that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that you can possibly ask or think of. Okay? But you've got to do your part. You can't do that flicking around thinking you can have conversations. You know what? It's tedious. And I know that it's tedious, but you've got to understand we're in the last days. The pressure, we are in a pressure cooker. Don't you get it? And if you're not careful, you will explode. You will explode. But guess what? God says not so. Okay? But you're going to have to do what it takes. You can't just frivolously go through the motions of prayer, Lord. You know, these old prayers that our forefathers used to pray, Lord, just bring the heaven on earth down, and Lord, just do this for me and do that for me, and Lord, I know that your word says, and blop the blip the blue boo boo and da 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 da, but you can't do that. That does not work. And this time and season, those days are gone. Do you understand? I don't even know if God heard it then. But the fervent prayer of the righteous did avail much. Do you understand? But those kind of prayers, we got to speak his word, baby. We've got to give him his word back. It's where God's word said. He said before this world passes away, in other words, give me my word back. I gave you the word. Give it back to me, and then I can go and perform it. That's what the scripture means. Give me my word back. Give it back to me, and I can go and perform it. But I can't perform what you're not giving me back. If it's not what I said, I cannot perform it. Don't you get it? You've got to get this thing. Okay, then you've got to fast, and then you've got to pray. Okay, you've got to purge yourself. when you purge yourself, you do like this. Let me finish reading this. This is a purging that Christ did. In order for him to be able to go to the cross, he had to do this. Hear me now. He says, and he withdrew from them and was a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, this is the key. If you are willing, if you are willing, Father. Now, we already know he's willing. We already know that he's willing to save us because he sent his only begotten son. Okay? So you know he's willing to save you from yourself. You hear me? He wants you delivered. God wants you delivered. You've got to understand that he wants you delivered. This is not some, well, deliverance is good, but I'm under grace. Okay? Stay under that grace that you're talking about that they told you about and not get delivered and watch the enemy run roughshod over you because that's what's happening. Because you're steady talking about grace, grace, instead of standing on his word and doing what he told you to do. He gave you the keys. They're not for the world. They're for us. Okay? And he says, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will. Okay? Not my will, because my will is to do fleshly things. Come on now. He was in the flesh. He was telling him something. This is key. Not my will. My will is to let this cup pass me. Guess what? This stuff, this hurts my flesh. This hurts me to have to do this. I don't know what they're going to do to me. I know what this feels like. I already know in advance what's going to happen. Do you understand? And this is killing my flesh. To submit myself to do this act for them. That's what he's saying here, okay? He says, take this cup if it be your will, okay? Now, if you tell God, see, that's the problem. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We've not told God to take this filth, to purge us from this filth. We've not really told God this. We've gone and let people lay hands on us, and probably the person that laid hands on you had the same issues you have. You hear me? And I said that on the other message. But I need you to understand this. Lord, have mercy. Remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but I always, no, but always yours be done. See, when you get the Amplified tells you what the meaning was according to the lexicons, the Hebrew and the Greek. Do you understand? They've done the research. That's why I love the Amplified. I don't have to work so hard. You understand? Remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but always yours be done. See, Christ wanted always God's will to be done. See, that's what he meant. When he said, but your will be done. Always your will be done. Always. See, so when we come, we're not really praying for true deliverance. We're doing that fake stuff that they do in a lot of these churches, and people are falling out, laying in the spirit, are shaking and doing all manner of things. I'm not saying that all the time that's not true, but most of the time it's not. Because people generally wake up with that, come or get up with that same thing not being delivered. Now, guess what? If they had done what I'm saying right now, and they were serious about the Lord doing that, and they went to church and the preacher preached on that, and then they got in line, and then the Holy Spirit fell, and then somebody that was holy laid hands on them, okay? Then they got delivered the first time. Do you hear what I'm saying? And when they do, that residue leaves with the rest of the garbage that comes out. See, if you, let me say this and then I got to get to the residue because I only have like 11 minutes left. And he says this, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him in spirit. Did you hear that? There appeared to him an angel. See, it's nothing that happened to Christ that can't happen for us. There's nothing. There's nothing. Because what did Christ say? And greater work shall you do. What was he saying to us? Yes, I did this, but you'll be able to overcome even without me because I'm sending that Holy Ghost, my Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, to do the work. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit does that work. when you line yourself up, you do your part. The Holy Spirit does his part. You line yourself up and have a sincere desire to have that changed out of you. Let me tell you something. God will take that and the residue too. Let me go on. Then he says this. Okay. So now here's this angel came to strengthen him in the spirit, not in his flesh, in the spirit, in his spirit. See, it's your spirit. Your flesh can be whipped, beat, torn up. You can be maimed, lost legs, whatever the case is. But if your spirit man says for you to rise and go to that destination, your body will figure out a way to do it. It's got to be in your spirit, not just in your head. It's got to be in your spirit. And you can only do that through fasting and prayer, okay? Reading these prayers that I told you about, okay? And getting rid of that residue that I talked about on yesterday. Then he says this, and being in an agony of mind. This is an agony of mind. See, that's why I love the Amplified. It wasn't talking about his flesh. It wasn't talking about his flesh. It was talking about here and there and being in an agony of mind, he prayed. See, your mind has to be in agony about this thing to get rid of this. Your mind has to be in agony. You have to be in turmoil. You have to hate this thing so bad that's within you, that you are agonized in this. If it's your lying tongue, you got to be agonized that every time you open your mouth, you tell a lie. And you know that God's word said a liar is not going to enter into heaven. You've got to war with yourself and within yourself that you stop the spirit of lying and that you cast that spirit out never to lie again. And every time the enemy comes forth to try to get you to be deceptive in any form, okay, when he comes to do that, you say the devil is a liar. That's where that spirit, that scripture comes in. The devil is a liar, okay? That you tell him that he is a liar and that you will not lie. I refuse to lie. I rebuke that spirit of lying in the name of Jesus. I cast it out. I cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. And then you go on and on and on with those prayers, okay? And then he says this. He prayed all the more earnestly. All the more earnestly. So he prayed earnestly, but then all the more earnestly. Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, he got down off into that thing. He didn't get up until in his spirit he was built up to do the will of the Father. Do you understand? That's purging yourself. You can't just sit down and think you're going to fast for a few days or even a week or a month or whatever, however long your fast is, without this prayer thing, without going in and not getting up until you get a breakthrough. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That's deep. You've got to do this thing. You've got to agonize this agony of your mind. And then you've got to pray, okay, more earnestly and intently, the word of God says, intently. Do you hear what I'm saying? This thing has to be intentional, and it has to be intense. Okay? Now listen to what else it says. And his sweat became like great clots of blood dropping down upon the ground. Come on now. Have you ever prayed like that? That's why you ain't delivered. That's why you're not delivered, my brothers and sisters. See, that's what has to be like clots of blood. Do you understand? You have to tell the Lord, I'm not getting up. Do like what's his name did with that angel. I'm not going to release you until I get my blessing. Do you ever say, I'm not going to release you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit of the living God. I'm not going to release you until I get my breakthrough. You have to be determined with that thing. You can't micky-ficky that thing. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You've got to go into the Holy of Holies with that thing and tell the Lord, I can't do this. You have to do this. You see, in order for me to live holy, and you know what I hear people flippantly say, yeah, but nobody's holy and this, and this. Hold up. Some of us are holy. Some of us live holy lives. And some of us know how. Do you hear what I'm saying? We are mature enough that any time a thought comes into our minds, we take captive that thought and we cast it out and we cancel it, and that's how we remain holy. So when you say that there's nobody holy under, that's not true, because if that were so, God wouldn't tell us to be holy. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? God wouldn't demand and command us to be holy if he thought we couldn't. Come on now. I rebuke that spirit of telling somebody that you ain't holy. I beg to differ with you. Some of us are staying on that battlefield of holiness. That's a battlefield. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's a battlefield. A spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? Holiness. Holiness. That is, you know, and the enemy will always come. He'll always come with whatever it is that your past issue was. He's always going to come with that. That's what he's going to come with. He's not going to try to start anything new because you got that covered. Do you hear me? He's going to try. You know about this unleavened bread, and I don't have time to get to the scripture because I only have 4 minutes. But it says this. Remember the scripture that talks about the unleavened bread and how it defiles the whole loaf, how it messes up the whole loaf, just a little bit of leaven, just defiles the whole loaf. That's just a little bit of sin defiles holiness just like that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You got to get this, my brothers and sisters. You got to get this. The Holy Spirit wants you to get this, because he wouldn't still have me on this if he didn't want you to get this. You've got to get this. Do you hear me? And so let me tell you something. Let me go a step further. Remember I told you once before, for those of you who haven't, I was in entertainment for about 15 years, and I worked with people like Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight. I got them our television coverage, and I was also an agent getting them gigs in my worldly life, in my career, okay, of the world. Remember Richard Pryor. I worked with Richard Pryor. Remember Richard Pryor could never shake that cocaine addiction. He could never stop smoking that pipe. Well, I saw one day I was sitting in a room with he and another gentleman talking about the pipe and talking about the residue that was left after the pipe was smoked, you know, for a period of time. There is a residue that's left, and this is key. This is key. And if you can get to that residue and scrape that residue, he said that was the best of the pipe. That was even better than the initial high that he had gotten. This is deep. I need you to get past. I'm giving you this as an example. So when that spirit, that residue is a spirit, because that it came bringing that filth in the first place. It was a spirit that came, because you're not born into all this stuff. That spirit was assigned to you, because that spirit knew you, just like God knew you. That same spirit knew you. So it attached itself, okay, and gravitated you toward whatever that sin was. That residue, after you so-called pray and fast and get rid of it, that residue, let me tell you what residue means quickly, because I only have 2 minutes. Residue is that which remains after something has been taken away, separated out by evaporation or filtration, which the prayer and fasting should accomplish with the Holy Spirit. See, that residue that's left, that prayer and fasting, okay, and reading those prayer books so that you learn how to shut down can shut down all this other stuff, that residue is what brings the leaven back in the bread, in the body, that residue. So you've got to purge yourself of that residue. So ask God in closing, I've got 1 minute, to cleanse you from that residue. Do you hear what I'm saying? That is left when you have denounced whatever it is that you are not going to do anymore. So get yourself cleansed of that, body of Christ, and then you will be totally delivered. But I read this in Luke 21, verse 34. But take heed to yourselves and be on guard. Let your hearts be overburdened and depressed, okay? Weighed down with the
giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, and lest that they come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. 35 says, for it will come upon all who live upon the face of the entire earth. 36 is the key. Keep awake, then, and watch at all times. Be discreet, attentive, and ready, praying that you may have the full strength and ability and be accounted worthy to escape all these things taken together that will take place and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. And I say at the end, may God add a blessing to the hearers and the readers of his word. Amen. So I thank you for joining us. Again, it's another day's journey, and I'm so very, very glad about it. So make it count, my brothers and sisters. Until tomorrow, God bless you richly. Amen, and thank God.